What Women Must Know with Sheryl Selman, Mondays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to What Women Must Know. I'm Dr. Sheryl Selman, and it's a pleasure, as always, to welcome you to today's show. I'm a naturopathic doctor specializing in holistic perspectives and solutions for women's health matters. And as you know, this program is dedicated to providing women with greater knowledge to help them regain and maintain optimal health at any stage of their lives. And it's also an opportunity to have in-depth conversations about the many issues that are of particular concern to women. And there's so many things we really need to understand so we can make the best choices for ourselves and our family. I want to just remind everyone, if you have not yet taken a little visit over to my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, I invite you to do so, because if you opt in to my website, you will then be able to get all the special reports that I make available to people. So there are several reports waiting for you right now. Then if you go to my articles page, there are many, many, many of my articles. It's all there, freely available to everyone. And it's a great way to get the kind of truthful information that the show is all about, and to, as I always like to say, empower people so they can make the best choices for themselves. So just letting you know, it's there, and if you have not yet opted in, please do so. It is certainly worth the effort. You'll be really pleased at what you learn. And as we're talking about the information that women must know, my guest today is one of those heroines that's on the planet. I know she probably is very shy as she's hearing me say this about her, but she is truly a heroine. She certainly is in my book. She is a person who has been ceaselessly striving to get truthful information out and make a huge, huge difference in the health of children and their families. And, of course, I'm talking today, and I'm talking about Dr. Doris Rapp. So just let me share with you a little bit about this amazing and dedicated woman. Dr. Rapp is board certified in pediatrics, pediatric allergy and environmental medicine. She was a clinical assistant professor of pediatrics at the State University of New York at Buffalo until she moved over to Phoenix, where she is now. She practiced traditional allergy for 18 years, and then in 1975 began incorporating the principles of environmental medicine into her pediatric allergy practice. She is a certified specialist in environmental medicine. She has published numerous medical articles, authored chapters in medical texts, and written many, many best-selling books and booklets for the public about allergy. She has also produced numerous educational videos and audio tapes for the public, educators, and physicians. Dr. Rapp is past president of the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. She is also the author of Is This Your Child's World, and the best-selling book, Is This Your Child? These two books will help identify and provide practical methods of treatment to eliminate substances which can cause illness and behavioral changes in both children and adults. And we're talking today to Dr. Rapp about her latest book, which is called 32 Tips That Could Save Your Life, Easy Answers, Figure Out Exactly What Is Making You Sick. And this issue of allergies and the many sources of allergens from our environment, from our food, and the impact on the health of our children and ourselves just cannot be overstated. It's such a profound issue, and we're going to be talking all about it and talking about the 32 tips that could save your life. And it's a great pleasure to have you on the show today, Dr. Rapp.
Pleasure to hear all of this, and a pleasure to have an opportunity to try to help the many women listeners that you have.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you are ceaseless in the work you do. You're really, you know, driven by your passion. You know, can I ask you, Dr. Rapp, how did So how did this get ignited in you? How did this become such a dedication that has really directed your life for so many years?
Actually, amazingly, at the age of 4 years, I knew I wanted to be a physician. And when people told me girls were doctors or were nurses, not doctors, I said, no, I'm going to be a doctor. And as I was a teenager, they kept saying, well, you'll never get into medical school and you don't have any money, and what makes you think you can do it? And I said, I have the brains. I think I can do it. I think I'm smart enough to become a doctor. And things just worked out. And I personally believe it was destiny, because I had no money and all of a sudden I had scholarships because I had high grades. And things went very smoothly. The doors opened up. I got into medical school. It took me an extra year because the classes only took 4 girls a year in the medical schools. And so it was hard because the competition was high, but I got in. I got a bachelor's and then got a master's degree. And then I got into medical school, and it's been straight sailing since then.
So did they actually have quotas back then for women in medical
school? Oh, yes. Oh, they had quotas for women. They had quotas for Jews. They had all kinds of quotas in the 50s when I went to medical school.
Well, so, I mean, you have to have been following your destiny, because you had initially so many seeming obstacles, but you just were determined and overcame.
Yeah, I absolutely knew. I knew that I would do nothing else.
And when you have that kind of certainty...
And it paid off, because I believe in reincarnation. I should be so lucky the next lifetime to be a physician, because you have the opportunity to help so many in so many ways. And so I've sort of prided myself on finding things that are fast, easy, inexpensive, effective, and safe, because our challenge is to help the masses. There are way too many that cannot afford the nutrients for their family, let alone the medical care. They can't pay $200 to $400 for an office visit and another $100 for vitamins and nutrients. The people of today do not have that kind of money.
Right.
And they need medical care desperately. And
right.
They're trying to look at alternative ways that would be less expensive and safe for them to use. But I feel very sorry for the mothers who have no money at all, and they've got sick children and would love to know what to do. Their husband's left and they've got 2 children. They're in a very difficult position, and there aren't a lot of ways that they can be helped.
So let's start our conversation today. Let's define this condition called allergies. And I mean, this has been so much a part of your work in children, but of course we know that it extends far into the adult population.
Yes.
So you know, what is an allergy really, and what are the ramifications and the indications of someone dealing with allergies? Because it's not always obvious, is it?
No, it is not. Okay. In fact, there's a lot of confusion about it. When people think of allergies, they think of asthma and hay fever and itchy skin with eczema and hives. That's a traditional allergy. And for many years, as an allergist, I thought that's what allergy was. And then 1975, I went to a conference and they said, you're missing it. Allergies can affect any area of the body. You can have chronic headaches. You can have chronic fatigue. You can have hyperactivity and outbursts of anger and aggression. You can have chronic leg aches and problems walking and talking and thinking. And I was astounded to realize that allergies could affect any area of the body and any area of the brain. So it can affect how you act and behave and learn. And there are some easy ways to figure these things out. Suppose your child learns very well one day and can't learn anything the next day, or your child learns well in the morning but can't learn in the afternoon at school. Well, there's a reason for that, and you have to say why. And if you just have your child write his name before every class and again at the end of the class and label it, and you find your child writes the same way all day long except the first period in the afternoon when they can't write their name at the end of 1 hour, that means their brain has been affected, and therefore you've got to say, what did they eat, touch, or smell that was different before they started that class? And if they always have trouble in a certain room, why is it only that room that bothers them? What's different in that room? Did they have a flood? Could it be molds? Did they put in a new synthetic carpet? Did they put new partitions that smell the chemicals? In other words, instead of taking one pill after another, people, I think, have to sit back and say, why am I sick? Why am I sick where I am sick? What is causing it? And if you start to think that way, you'll suddenly realize that things, that your illness comes on at certain times in certain places. And if you start to think about what did you eat, touch, and smell, you may come up with answers that all the specialists that you've seen in medicine have missed, because nobody knows your body like you do. And many times the answers are very simple.
So to clarify, if that name writing test, that's such an easy thing. And basically, if the child, if their handwriting is illegible, if it changes, is that what you're looking for?
Yes, they'll stab the paper if they become aggressive. The handwriting reflects how they feel. If they crawl underneath the furniture and cower in a dark corner, their handwriting will become very small. If they immediately start to hit and kick, their writing will become very large, and they'll tend to write pictures that illustrate hitting or kicking or spitting or something like that. And all you have to do is say, where does this happen and when does this happen? If it's after a meal, what did they eat? If it's always in a certain location, what's different in that location? And in time, the parents, who no one knows a child like the parents, the mothers will figure out answers that everybody else has missed, because you've got to think of it sort of like a mouse in a cheese factory. You can see what's causing the problem if you start to think about it. If you have a nail in your shoe causing a sore in your foot, what's the best answer? To take out the nail. The tendency of many health professionals now is to just give you a pill and not find out what causes the problem, because to do that sometimes takes time. And therefore, I've written books so that parents can figure it out, because there are certain clues that tell you right away that you've gotten into something that bothers you. For example, children, if they're allergic to red dyes and sugar in some pop or carbonated beverage, shortly after they drink it, within 15 minutes to an hour usually, they will develop some of them will develop red earlobes, very red cheeks, wiggly legs, and they start to act in a totally different way. To prove that it's a food or a beverage causing it, just give them a teaspoon or two, it's very safe, of baking soda and a half a glass of water. If it's a food sensitivity, they will be better right away.
Well, why is that?
If you alkalinize the body, or make it more alkaline rather than acid, if your urine and saliva are alkaline, if you test it with a pH paper, it's green instead of yellow or orange, if you can keep your body alkaline, you will find that you have far few illnesses of any type. In fact, there are reports that if you can keep your body alkaline, you will not have a recurrence of cancer. In fact, there are others that think you won't get the cancer at all if you can keep your body alkaline. There's a book by Robert Young called The pH Miracle, and he talks about the fact that if your body is alkaline, you're much more apt to be sick with all kinds of things. If there's a flu epidemic running through your city and you can eat alkaline foods and keep your body alkaline at that time, chances are you will not get the infection, and you don't have to do anything other than eat the alkaline foods. If you want a list of the acid alkaline foods, if you call 1-800-78-78-780, just 3 78s and a 0, and talk to my secretary, she'll be glad to email you a list of the alkaline foods and the acid foods. And it isn't always what you think. For example, grapefruit you would think would be acid. It's actually alkaline, and so are the other forms of citrus. They're slightly alkaline. So you need a list. But if you eat the foods on a highly alkaline diet, you would feel healthier because your body feels better if it's slightly in the alkaline range.
So the alkaline will neutralize the body's allergic reaction to a substance, so it can...
Well, it'll either neutralize or prevent it.
Right. You know, what is it that happens in the brain, if you can kind of explain it in a simple way for us, that causes these neurological changes? I mean, I've seen in your books where you have before and after drawings of children before they've been exposed to some allergen. They would draw a little picture of a, you know, stick...
Right.
And then after they've been exposed, they could hardly draw a straight line of any sort.
Right, and that is a major, major problem.
Why is that? What do you, can you explain what does that food or substance do to
the brain? It changes the circulation in the brain. And actually, there have been doctors that do studies of the brain, and when they do the studies, they can see that certain areas of the brain have decreased blood circulation in that area, and that is contributing to the problems at that particular time. And so you can do what's called brain imaging and show that there are actual changes in the blood supply, the amount of sugar, your brain goes on sugar, the amount of nutrients that are in the brain at that particular time, and this affects the individual. I personally think that if you fall and you hit your head on your forehead, for example, that has to do with your actions and behavior. You may have remembered the movie about the cuckoo's nest, where the man acted inappropriately. Well, your actions and behaviors are frequently decided by that area in your behind your forehead. So if you damage that area and for some reason the blood supply isn't normal, then you might have a greater tendency to have a change in your disposition and your actions if you get into the wrong thing. Whereas if the area of your brain that's affected is the area that has to do with your ability to write, your writing would change. This is why the writing test before and after meals or before and after you go in every room in your house, if you check the writing and you see a vast difference, it means that the brain is being affected, and this could affect your child's schoolwork. And it's very important to figure out why that happens. The tendency is to blame the teacher or the child if they're not learning properly, but many times I think the problem is an incorrect medical diagnosis. They haven't figured out what's causing it. And I think the answer is that parents have to say, why is this happening now? What is different than usual? What did my child eat or touch or smell? Odors cause problems within seconds. In other words, someone walks by with a perfume that bothers you, you'll develop your headache in a minute. But some children wouldn't be able to write or draw, as you can see in my books. Or some people actually even collapse if they get near the wrong chemical. But dust, mold, pollen, and foods can cause the same sort of problems. And it's different foods for different people. If you have a food sensitivity, and you sit down and write your five favorite foods and your two favorite beverages. If you have a food allergy, you just wrote it down. Mm-hmm. You should go off each food or each beverage for at least 5 to 7 days and then eat a lot of it all by itself on an empty stomach. And if that food is a problem, within 1 hour you will have symptoms. If it's a food, you take the baking soda and you'll be better right away.
Gosh, that's
a very practical, inexpensive answer.
Yeah. It is. You know, you talked about some of the obvious symptoms or indicators that could show up in a child. I don't know if it's also true in adults, like the ears getting hot, cheeks.
Oh. It is true in adults, and the adults get wiggly legs. And some of them get a strange look in their face. Their eyes look spaced out or glazed or glassy. And other people get a very mean, almost demonic look in their eyes. And those people, their area of the brain that's being affected can trigger aggression and extreme anger. And they're the kinds of people that are apt to hurt somebody because they're going to get in a fight. When you see somebody that has this very frightening look in their eye, you should go in the other direction. Because they could hurt you.
Right. I mean, you certainly see this in some of these children who really have these violent tendencies, you know, acting out from their, I would say often it's these undiscovered allergies that are driving these behaviors.
Absolutely, and these children are drugged, but it also happens in adults. There are some women that their husband comes home, they know their husband loves them, and all of a sudden he beats hell out of them. And he gets this look in his eye, and he gets a red earlobes. And nobody ever says, why'd he do it? And it might be something as simple as today's payday, so he stopped at the local tavern and had three beers before he came home, and he's sensitive to the corn and the beer. He just needs to switch to Michelob or Budweiser that is made from rice.
So it may not be the alcohol, it may be the contents alcoholic drink.
It's the components. Plenty of people get sick from beer that is made from corn, but they don't get sick from beer made from rice.
That's so interesting. What's the prevalence of allergies, do you think, in the population?
You know, they say, maybe 10% or 15%. Sometimes the statistics are even lower. I'd have said that until I realized that allergies can affect any area of the body. Now I say I think it's closer to 80% who have allergies at some time. There are some people that they eat, children, for example, if they drink fruit juice or milk, are apt to wet the bed. In other words, instead of the lungs going into spasm and getting asthma, their bladder goes into spasm and they wet the bed. Sometimes they wet their pants during the daytime. And the only thing is that that particular food affects that particular area of the body in such a way that it's not liked. Nobody likes to wet their pants in the daytime or at night. But there are some people, if they eat certain foods or smell certain things, their bladder goes into spasm and they don't get asthma. They can't control it any more than an asthmatic can, but they can start to pay attention to what causes it. So if you are fine, you feel great, and all of a sudden you have a headache, your walk isn't normal, your speech isn't normal, you don't feel good, your pulse gets too fast or too irregular, something isn't right, you've got to say, why? What did I eat? What did I touch? What did I smell? No one knows your body like you do. You can figure out answers that everybody else has missed for years by just paying attention. If your pulse becomes irregular, why? Your cardiologist or heart specialist may say, well, you don't have to do it, and you don't have to worry about that. It could be anything. I'm going to give you some pills, but the pills have all kinds of side effects. I say, if your pulse suddenly becomes irregular or your blood pressure suddenly goes up and you didn't have a fight with your wife, say to yourself, why? What caused it? What did I eat or touch or smell? You can figure out answers that nobody else can figure out. I remember one family, for example, where the girl, when we put her on an allergy diet, there's one in my book that has helped endless numbers of people. I couldn't believe the amount of success I've had with that diet. You go off highly allergenic foods for 1 week, and then you add them back one at a time. When they added the foods back, the daughter developed behavior problems, became very withdrawn, untouchable, and she couldn't write. She couldn't learn. It turns out the chocolate allergy ran in the family. If her mother ate chocolate, her mother developed premature ventricular contractions, which in simple English means her heart would suddenly grab her and her, in her chest would get very tight and she'd have sudden pain. The grandmother of this little girl would develop what's called a tachycardia in the middle of the night if she had chocolate for dessert. At 2 in the morning, she'd wake up and her heartbeat would be 200, 250, and she'd be rushed to the hospital. Each one of them had different areas of their body or their heart that was affected by the chocolate. And you could give them medicine, but it was so much easier to just stop giving them chocolate. However, it is possible to treat food allergies. And you can take allergy injection treatments for foods. I was taught when I studied pediatric allergy that you could not treat a food allergy. And in 1975, I went to a meeting and they said, oh, are you ever missing it? It's easy to treat a food allergy. I found out how it was done and I said, oh, what a pity that I didn't know this. Once you get the food allergies treated, you can eat those foods usually in moderation at least every 4 days without having any symptoms at all. And there are ways of even treating food allergies by adding the food back gingerly. Say you're allergic to milk, you get congested in the nose, and then you get a sinus infection or it goes down in your lungs. But you really would love to have milk in your coffee or have ice cream once in a while. Well, let me tell you how to do it. You start out with a half a teaspoon of milk. 4 days later, you have a teaspoon of milk. 4 days after that, 2 teaspoons. And every 4 days, you double the amount of milk until you notice that you're getting congestion or your chest is filling up. And when you notice that you're having symptoms from the milk, you cut back 2 or 3 times so that you get much less milk and you stay on that lower amount every 4 days for maybe a month. And then you start to gingerly raise it up again. And in that way, you can eventually frequently enable your body to drink, say, 2 or 3 glasses of milk a day and not have symptoms. And it hasn't cost you anything. The other way you can do it is you can go to a doctor that knows provocation neutralization allergy testing. And to find the nearest one, you can call 1-800-78-78-780 or look in any of my books. And they can tell you where the nearest doctor is that knows how to safely test you for various things and pinpoint exactly what causes what. By doing what's called provocation neutralization allergy testing, you can put a drop of dust in your arm and produce asthma. And then you can give a weaker dilution of the same dust and eliminate the reaction. And then when you get in dust, you can take that dilution under your tongue or by injection, or you can take it every day and you won't get the asthma. Once you find the cause, you've got the answer. And then you can test for another food, such as, grape juice. And the grape juice might cause your child to wet the bed. You're 5. And that, again, is an indication that that is a problem. You can either stop eating it or stop drinking the grape juice, or you can treat yourself for it.
So you're really learning how to retrain the immune system? Is that part of...
Well, in essence, you are retraining the immune system because you are trying to... You're changing something inside the body, and we don't know exactly how it works, and that's why many people do not believe it.
Well, let's take a break here, Dr. Rapp. We're going to have a little station break, and we'll come back, and we're going to be looking at some of those fantastic 32 tips that could save your life. So hang in there, everyone. You're listening to What Women Must Know with Dr. Cheryl Selman and my very special guest today, Dr. Doris Rapp. We'll be right back.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, this is Dr. Meir Eisenstein. Every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, I will be coming to you live on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I will bring my background as a physician and as an attorney to help you with a minimal pharmaceutical and a minimal surgical approach to your medical issues. Please come join me.
So to join in on the conversation, call 888-874-4888. Ask Dr. Eisenstein, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, this is Adam Kolker from the Brooklyn Jazz Underground. We're going to be hosting a weekly show every Tuesday at 5 p.m., focusing on sounds coming from the borough of Brooklyn. We'll be playing some new releases, doing live interviews, some live performances, maybe even venture out into music from some of the outer boroughs. Brooklyn Jazz Underground, Tuesday at 5, only on the Progressive Radio Network.
South of the border.
Hello, I'm Johnny Mueller, and I have a brand new show called The Expat Files, and it's all about living, working, playing, or retiring in Latin America. I know what it's like to buy land, build a house, start a business. I've been through it in a dozen Latin countries. So, if you're thinking about moving down, or you're just curious, be sure to listen in Mondays and Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Down Mexico way.
Hi, you're listening to Bhavani, and I'd like to welcome you every Wednesday on the Progressive Radio Network to join me for my show called I Eat Green, where every Wednesday we will talk about eating healthy and eating sustainably for our planet. So join me every Wednesday from 5 to 6.
Join us, Bruce and Marianne Curtis, Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network for Truth and Freedom. We present provocative conversations with the world's most brilliant minds in the areas of holistic health, spiritual wisdom, politics, and a host of other topics. Some of our topics include the latest work in non-invasive therapy on the brain, the truth beneath the global economic meltdown, healing power of the breath, and the sublime truth beyond all religious traditions. In this age of transformation, we need to look beneath the surface appearance of things to see the underlying reality. From material that is always illuminating and often liberating, tune in to Truth and Freedom on the Progressive Radio Network, Fridays at 3 p.m.
This is PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
This is Dr. Cheryl Sumlin. You're listening to What Women Must Know. And my guest today is New York Times bestselling author, Dr. Doris Rapp. And we're talking about allergies and our children and ourselves and tips that could save our life. So this is such an important topic, Dr. Rapp. So many people are really, you know, compromised in their ability to use their full potential, whether it's their vitality for health and just having the energy or their ability to learn. It just is so shocking and sad to realize how many people have no idea that these allergies, these foods, the exposure to things are actually having such a huge impact, debilitating their ability.
I think it's far more common than most people realize. When you think about the fact that the average newborn child is born with 287 toxic chemicals in their blood, and most of us have at least that many toxic chemicals circulating in our body all the time. Some of them have measured up to 500. It is no wonder that people are reacting to things and not recognizing it. Most people only think of allergies as asthma, hay fever, and itchy skin, or maybe a bellyache. And they don't realize that your ability to comprehend and think clearly, that your that the amount of anxiety or mood changes that you have or anger and aggression might be due to foods or dust or mold or chemicals or pollen. People just don't think that way. Many people, for example, are depressed and even suicidal. And I never realized that it could happen due to pollen or molds, but I had fathers and then sons who became sick at exactly the same time of the year, when the molds were high in the air and it was wet and damp, or when the pollen count was high. They only reacted to one pollen, and they would react every year. And unless somebody starts to analyze these sorts of things, you aren't going to figure it out, and it isn't something that's routinely taught in medical school, and it wasn't even routinely taught in allergy until I learned environmental medicine in 1975. So I think that the problem is that there are many people who are sick, and there's relatively a small handful of people who know how to diagnose and treat these forms of illness, even though they're very common.
Do you think there is a connection between allergies and the obesity epidemic we're seeing?
Unquestionably. I really think that there's definitely a sensitivity there. I personally think that it might be more than just foods, but I've in the past I've put, for example, on a milk-free diet, and the mother goes on the milk-free diet with the child because it's easier to cook. The child's allergies disappear, and the mother comes in and tells me, hey, I lost 10 pounds in the past week, and I've been trying to lose weight for ages. And it means that when she drank milk, it increased her appetite or something in such a way that she gained weight. When we took it away, she lost the weight. There are other people that I think that the chemicals are also a factor related to obesity. For example, in the past, we have not had the number of chemicals that we are now confronted with in our air, in our food, in our water. And these chemicals will accumulate in the body, but only after the body says, my goodness, I can't handle it anymore. The body will automatically try to excrete toxic chemicals in your air, your bowel movement, your urine, your perspiration. But if your body is overloaded, it has to start to store these chemicals. And for example, women who have breast cancer have far more chemicals that can cause cancer, I might add, in their breast fat than women that don't. And what's all this this fat that women and men now have sort of like a donut around their navel or umbilical area? Well, what is all that fat? I never saw that before. This is something that's come on in the past 20 years. People used to get a big belly when they got fat, but it wasn't localized in a circle like a donut around the umbilical area. I think the human body is having trouble handling the load of toxins in the air and the food and the water, and the result is we now have these terrible epidemics that we never had before of cancer, of arthritis, of ticks and twitches, of learning disabilities, diabetes, thyroid disease. Many of these illnesses were present before, but not in an epidemic form. Now we have more of these illnesses, more in children, and more of them starting earlier, and they're in more serious forms than they used to be. So I think that the health of humans is actually in jeopardy unless the parents recognize that their family deserves good, clean water that doesn't have a lot of chemicals and fluoride in it, that they recognize that they have to have organic food that's not genetically engineered and not irradiated. These are basics. They have air, and the way to get clean air is to get an air purifier that takes out the dust, the mold, the pollen, and the toxins. And there's one that does that very well, which is called the Austin Air Purifier. And if you want to find out more about it, again, you can call 800-78-7870. she'll tell you the pros and the cons of various purifiers. So there are things that you can do. You need a water purifier, you need an air purifier, and you need to buy organic food. If your body becomes a toxic dump site, you are going to get sick. If you keep loading the fat in your body with too many chemicals, at some point that area of your body is going to become ill.
So, you know, the statistic you just gave a little while ago, which I have heard before, but it's always so shocking, and I think it just needs to be, restated, that we now have newborn infants being born with a minimum of 287 chemicals, toxic chemicals that exist in the environment going right into the body of a newborn. And, you know, human beings were never designed to be born or at any point in our lives to be carrying such a toxic load. This is part of this massive experiment going on, isn't it?
Well, this is exactly what it is, and it's causing all kinds of problems, and it's going to get worse. You can't marinate a newborn infant that's developing in the uterus in these toxic chemicals without damaging the brain, the nervous system, the endocrine system, causing a tendency to diabetes and thyroid disease, the reproductive system. We're having all kinds of sexual changes, actually, in many ways, with the sex organs not being normally developed and normally shaped, and there are just and the dropping of the sperm count and the quality and the quantity and the increased femininity in males because of their vast exposure from being in the uterus on to all these feminizing chemicals called xenobiotics. We are messing up our world, and I don't know what it's going to take to make people wake up. How many more cancers do you have to see in your friends and relatives? How many more do you have to see get diabetes and thyroid disease? How many more children have to have all kinds of sexual problems before we start to say enough already? Enough. You know, there are children that are born now that have both sex organs, or they look like a male, but actually inside they have ovaries. These changes are occurring in animals as well as humans. The birds and the fish are having the same problems that we're having. I wrote a book called Our Toxic World, A Wake-Up Call. And in there, it is clearly evident that these chemicals are going to do us in. We are not, unless we do something to encourage the politicians to stop polluting everything in sight and not allowing so much air pollution and water pollution. The laws keep getting weaker in relation to controlling these things, and we're exposed in greater and greater amounts, starting earlier and earlier in life. If a woman wants to have a really healthy baby, she needs to spend a year cleaning the excessive toxic chemicals out of her body. And then her baby won't be born with 287 toxic chemicals, and her baby won't be exposed to these terrible things throughout the 9 months of the pregnancy.
And, of course, so should her partner.
Absolutely. If her partner is in better shape, he will have better sperm. Let me give you a little statistics that will scare you. If a man sprays a lawn next door within 65 days of the time he decides to conceive an infant, his sperm will not be normal because the chemicals damage the sperm. It takes 65 days for the sperm to develop. Now, what happens to a woman if she is exposed to toxic chemicals the first 90 days of her pregnancy? Now, you realize the first 6 weeks, she probably doesn't even realize she's pregnant. But the first 90 days of her pregnancy, if she is exposed to chemicals, she has a 70% chance of having a stillborn, a miscarriage, or a defective baby.
Well,
that's scary. I think every young couple needs to read my book, Our Toxic World, A Wake-Up Call, and realize that you cannot live an ordinary life and eat ordinary food and drink ordinary water if you want to have a normal baby, because it's all loaded with chemicals. We don't have anyone protecting us. In fact, the laws are now getting more and more lenient, and recently Congress passed some laws allowing more genetically engineered foods, and they don't have to label them. And they're considering those foods normal in spite of all the good scientific work that's been done showing that genetically engineered foods are terrible. But the government doesn't even have to label it, because the corporations that have money are ruling what is allowed in this country and what is not allowed in this country. And the politicians are going along with it, and the lobbyists are influencing the politicians. And I hate to be discouraging, but the main thrust of what's going on is not how can we protect the next generation, but how can we make more money. And until we start to realize that the most valuable thing we have is the next generation, we are going to have major problems. You can't feed them toxic food and give them toxic liquids in the form of water, polluted water, and expect them and have them breathe toxic air and expect them to be normal.
So at this time, why don't we give your website, Doris, where people can get more information, and also your that phone number where people can get the chart of the alkaline and acid-forming foods and more of the resources that you have been researching.
And I may have the acid-alkaline foods in my website. I'll check on it right after the program. But the phone number is 800-78-78-78-0.
Okay, that's
and the website
easy.
Is drrapp.com.
Great.
And I try to figure out, I'm very concerned because I think the masses can't afford medical care. So I try to find ways that are fast, easy, inexpensive, effective, and safe to cope with medical problems. For example, you start to swell up and you get an itchy, swollen tongue when you're eating a food. It means you're having a food allergic reaction. Take a teaspoon or two of baking soda and a half a glass of water, and you can stop the reaction. That's an important thing for everybody to know.
That is an important thing. Even if you keep some in your purse when you're going out, because if you can nip that in the bud, you will be reducing the stress your body has to go through to try to clear this stuff out of your system.
Absolutely, and you'll feel better very, very quickly. Alkali is very helpful and very good.
Let's talk about some of the tips that are in your latest book, which I think is a fantastic book. It's just got so much practical information, called 32 Tips That Could Save Your Life by Dr. Rapp. Well, what are some of the key tips that you could share with us today in the time we have?
I'd say one of the best is absolutely under no circumstance should you drink any diet pop or eat any foods that contain Equal or aspartame. Imagine that the electrical system in your house all has frayed wires. What do you think would happen? You are going to have electrical problems scattered throughout the house. Well, when you eat aspartame, which incidentally the studies show that it helps you to gain weight rather than losing weight, but when you eat Equal or aspartame as an artificial sweetener, you will damage the coating of all of your nerves. The myelin sheath that coats the nerves is damaged throughout the whole body. And the result is people have all kinds of illnesses, and nobody is going to diagnose it. There's no easy test. You can't take a sample of blood and say, do you have too much aspartame? It isn't going to show it. The way that you could show that aspartame is a problem is go off of it for a week and then add it back on an empty stomach, and you'll see what aspartame does to you. But you've got to start to read labels very carefully and avoid anything of that type that might be a problem for you.
Do they put aspartame into children's drinks or foods or
candy? They put aspartame in everything now. In something like 30,000 different things that we come in contact with every day, it's hidden in all kinds of foods, including very young children's foods.
There's so many things that I wish we had time to talk about, but one of the conditions that really concerns me happens to be mold. Because it's
molds
so
are
common.
A very, very big problem. If you've ever had a leak in your house and you just paint it over the wall and it doesn't show, forget it. You can be sick the rest of your life from the molds that come through the wall or from the ceiling or the floor where you had the leak. And the mold spores and the mold toxins can make you very sick. One of the most amazing things that I found when I was in practice was that the molds affect the brain, your activity, your behavior. And in my books, Is This Your Child? Is This Your Child's World? You can see examples where a child writes his name, it's normal. I put in one drop of a mold in their arm. They don't even know what I put in. And within 8 minutes, they can't write their name.
Wow.
So this means if a child is in a moldy classroom or you're in an office at work and it's moldy, it could be affecting how your brain acts. It might affect your walk, your talk, your speech, but your thought processes could come to a halt, or you might have a different personality where you explode very easily. And I have a videotape called Practical Pearls to Help You Today. It's probably one of the best things I've ever created. It's about an hour and a half long, but I can assure you, you will not get bored if you look at it. And basically what I do is I show how dust, mold, pollen, various foods and chemicals can adversely affect different areas of the body. So certain people can't walk correctly, they can't speak correctly, they twitch, they jerk. Some become explosive and vulgar, some become aggressive and angry, some become so fatigued they can't walk across the room. And I show all these bizarre symptoms that most in the health profession would not even recognize as being due to an allergy. I've tried to talk to psychiatrists and sent them tapes and showing these kinds of reactions and saying, would you think this is a psychiatric problem? Would you think it's due to dust, mold, or pollen? I never get any response. It's very hard to figure out how to get the information that could help so many people from A to B. And if there's anyone listening that has any ideas on how we can do that successfully, be assured I'm listening, because so many people have a lifetime of illness and pain and disabilities of various types that could be eliminated with a one-week allergy diet and an air purifier. The one-week allergy diet is listed in all of my books. It doesn't cost you a penny to do the diet, and many, many people within 5 to 7 days, if they have a food allergy, will be markedly improved. Then you add the foods back and figure out which one caused what. If your problem is the air, then you can get an air purifier, and you can try it for a whole month. And if it doesn't help, you can send it back and get your money back, except for $25 in the shipping fee.
Right.
Now, that's as inexpensive as I can make it for you. If an air purifier is going to help, many times it'll help overnight, or certainly within a day or two. And the diet, as I said, usually by the 5th to the 7th day, you're markedly improved. There's no less expensive way to find some answers. Certainly this gives you answers in allergy very inexpensively and easily. And then the books tell you how you can sometimes treat these problems, for example, with homeopathic remedies. Or herbs. There are alternative ways that are relatively cheap, but as I said before, you can add a food back and gradually increase the amount every 4 days, and you can get rid of many food allergies, not the kind that cause you to end up in the emergency ward at the hospital, but mild food allergies that cause headaches and belly aches and problems thinking or walking can easily be treated with something as simple as that.
You know, before we come to the end, just to complete that subject on mold, people think that if they, well, first of all, it's really hard to detect if it's hidden behind your drywall or something,
really?
Or up in the roof. But people believe that chlorine bleach will kill mold, but you actually don't. You say that that's not effective at all.
Mold is killed by bleach, but you have to get a special kind of bleach. If you get my book, 32 Tips, it tells you that there is a book called The Mold, The War Within by Kurt and Leanne Billings, B-I-L-L-I-N-G-S. That book tells you everything that you will ever want to know about mold, because this family was caught in the Katrina catastrophe. There's a website called themoldsource.com, which would be helpful. And there's a mold kit that you can get from Normi, N-O-R-M-I.org. And that mold kit is inexpensive, and you just open up these little dishes and expose the air to the what looks like a little gelatin in the bottom. Then you close it up and send it in, and they'll tell you if you have too many molds and which kinds of molds you have. And then they will help you figure out how to remediate or correct the situation. But molds, as I said, affect any area of the body. And if you look at that videotape, Practical Pearls to Help You Today, you'll see videotapes where people can't walk, they can't talk, they can't write, they're suicidal, they get depressed. It's all due to molds. And you can prove this very, very quickly by finding a doctor that knows how to do provocation, neutralization, allergy testing. One drop of mold in the arm, and you produce the actual symptoms the patient has, and then you give a fivefold weaker dilution every 8 minutes of that same mold, and when you get to the right dilution, whammy, in 8 minutes they're back to normal. It's fantastic. Unfortunately, it's a best-kept secret in medicine. I don't know why, but it hasn't sort of caught on, and it really should catch on, because most doctors would love to know, why is that patient so sick? What's causing it? That's what the patients want to know. And if you can take a good history, you can frequently figure out what's causing it, and then you can do the skin test and confirm your suspicion. You put a drop of it in their skin, and immediately they have their symptoms, a seizure, depression, whatever it is, and then you give them a weaker dilution, and when you get the right weak dilution, they're right back to normal again, and you can treat them with that.
Now, people can go to your website or to call you to find out who is a practitioner in their area. Hopefully, they will find someone locally.
Absolutely, and if they can't, I'm not seeing patients, but I do phone consultations, and I'll be glad to go over everything in great detail and tell you what I think is causing your problems.
That's great. Doris,
it really gets rather easy when you've been doing it about 40 years.
I think, yes, by then you've gotten it under your belt.
Yeah, you got
the blinding
really,
flash of the obvious by then.
Sometimes it's so simple, in 10 minutes you got the answer.
Doris, give that phone number again. We've come to the end of the show, but I want people to be sure to remember that number.
Well, it's easy to remember, 1-800-78-78-780. 378's in the zero.
And they also can go to DorisRapMD.com, correct?
Right, or DrRap.com.
Or DrRap.com.
And another thing, you can go to the library. I have a book called Is This Your Child? It's a bestseller. And what's true about the children is true about the adults. It's got the diet in there. I'm not trying to make money. I'm trying to help people.
No, and that's really obvious. You're just, really on a mission here. And, Doris, you've come to the end of the show. You've been fabulous. And
I really thank you for the opportunity, and I hope we helped a lot of people today. And if I did, tell them to write me a letter, and I'll put it on my website, and maybe it'll help some other people and encourage them to start to think more about allergies if nobody else has got the answers.
Well, thank you so much again. Stay well. Keep up the mission, and we're all here to support you and get this bigger message out there. And thanks again for your time, Dr. Rapp.
I appreciate the opportunity. Bye for now.
My pleasure. Bye now. Well, another fantastic show. Please pass the word on of Dr. Rapp's information. It really will change so many people's lives and certainly give our children a chance to be healthy and bright as they really should be in their true nature. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know. I hope you'll be tuning in next time, and remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self.